You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
We'll only begin to see as Jesus sees and care as Jesus cares if we pray like Jesus prays. And so today we're looking at Jesus-shaped mission praise. It prays. And what we'll cover here is just like is these things here. We'll look at how prayer admits the inadequacy of laborers. As a laborer, prayer admits this inadequacy from the inside to even begin to work. Prayer appeals to the authority of the Lord of the harvest, and prayer acknowledges the miracle of even what being sent by Jesus is a miracle on its own. And then prayer, what it does, it asks the Lord to send help for the harvest. So just join me as we kind of think about this difference that prayer makes. This difference that prayer, in fact, when we look at this, if you were to look at this scripture again, he looks, first of all, he sees this crowd, sees them as a crowd, as what, sheep without a shepherd, sees their true condition, sees them as sheep without a shepherd, and it says that he has compassion. He has this God movement that's there. And when he is moved deeply, usually, the step from there would be get up and do something about it. This is how most of us usually respond. When we see something and we're moved into God, usually it's like somebody ought to do something about this. And then we just get up straight and then we do something. But Jesus here doesn't do that. He says, he sees, and then he's moved with compassion. Sees the true need, and what he does is that he says to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, get down. Our movement usually is up from when we see and we have compassion, we move up. But Jesus is saying, no. Before you get your hands dirty, you need to get your knees dirty. Pray. This is the step that we miss a lot in the church. Before you get your knees dirty, your hands dirty, you need to get down. And why would he say this? This is, in fact, what most commentaries and most theologians have said. It just looks like it's so out of step. But yet, this is where the true mission of the church finds its power. Where the true mission of the church finds its power. I love J.C. Ryle, a preacher in the church in the 18th century. He says this, personal working for souls is good. Giving money is good. Like we took offering, right, to, and then we help people pay bills, move the mission forward. It's good. But praying is best of all. By prayer, we reach him, without whom work and money are alike in vain. We obtain aid of the Holy Spirit. Money can pay agents. Universities can give learning. Bishops may ordain. Congregations may elect. But the Holy Spirit alone can make ministers of the gospel. I want you to hear me this morning. The Holy Spirit alone is the one who can make ministers of the gospel. And raise up lay workmen in the spiritual harvest who need not to be ashamed. Never may we forget, you're going to see, never may we forget that if we would do good in the world, our first duty is to pray. Never may we forget that our first duty is to go down first before we can go up. Never may we forget. So what does prayer do for us? Prayer asks for the same eyes and heart of Jesus. towards people. You can meditate. Like last week we said, you have to look at the... One of the ways we don't have compassion is that we don't meditate on the needs of the people long enough. But after you've seen the needs of the people, prayer is the very thing that says, now I am looking and I have compassion. But Jesus, I can't move forward unless you do your sanctifying surgery to my eyes and to my heart, because I want this compassion to be sustained. Right? This is like social media, right? We're good at hashtags as our people, right? We're good at hashtags. If something comes up today, we can respond to it, but we forget about it tomorrow. But we need more than that. We need more than that. We're quick to respond to natural disasters, but we need more than that. Prayer is the very thing that helps us to actually now stay and play the long game. Play the long game. Jesus is seeking to awaken the similar compassion in his disciples. He's wanting this storm to come from afar and to come and actually to be sustained inside their hearts. He wants them to be moved deeper than just on the emotional level. Actions that are God-prompted and Spirit-powered last longer than bursts of zeal. Right? We didn't just have a burst of zeal. Let's just do it. 100-meter dash. No. This is a marathon. Right? And it's going to learn. You're going to have a little bit more energy behind that compassion. So Jesus is saying, pray. Pray earnestly. Earnestly beseech. Beg God. Ask with urgency. Right? Keeping the need in mind. Ask with urgency. And go to the Lord of the harvest. And then so we have to ask. And here, what you see is this: there's this metaphor change from sheep without a shepherd to harvest. And I love it. It says the harvest is what? Plentiful. Right? What is this harvest? This is people who can be brought into the kingdom of God, who are helpless and harassed. They're homeless, but they need a home. And in Christ, he says, as a father has compassion on what? On his children. So the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. The Lord has abounding compassion for his people. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Right? Abounding love towards people. This harvest is those that are ready to be told the gospel. People that are sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? That are restless and they're finding, they're looking. And listen, somebody is ready for Jesus when you watch them running to every single cistern, drinking out of it, thinking it's going to satisfy. When you are watching somebody drinking, like going to career, money, success, and all those things, and they're trying to find definition and success out of that, they're ready to find true meaning in Jesus. Because only he satisfies. I love what the great philosopher and theologian St. Augustine says, you made us for yourself, you created us, and our hearts are restless until they rest in what? In you. Right? And Jeremiah 9 is going to say, let no one boast over your strength and your might, and all, but boast in this one thing, that you know the Lord. Because we're restless. We're restless. And so as we look and as we see, all of a sudden, as we're seeing people driven by success, driven by, and this is so beautiful, because we have to think about this. College students, as you pursue that degree, you have to ask yourself, am I thinking this is going to give me total satisfaction and significance? Is this what's going to make it? Is this what I'm going to call it? But the gospel says, no, Jesus is the one. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So prayer does that. It helps us. The harvest is those that are ready for the gospel. I love Acts 18, verse 9 to 10. I love it because when Paul is in prison and Paul is being beaten and he's arrested, God, Jesus shows up to Paul and he says this to him. He says, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, go on speaking. Do not be silent.'" Listen to this. "For I am with you and no one will attack you or to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." This is what I have many in this city who are my people. But I love that. I love the way Jesus says, "I have many in this city who are my people." But where are they right now? And let me give you news flash. As City Church today, these people that are called His people today, some of them are strung out on heroin in our city today. And some of them are lost, and they spent a night at a bar yesterday, in a nightclub, or wherever it is. They spent their night starting themselves to death, thinking they're looking for a savior. These are the ones that He says are my people. And then so we have to know what prayer does is that it helps us to see what God sees. He says the harvest is plenty. All they could see was crowds. Jesus saw people who were ready to meet Him. So prayer helps, moves us from deep inside and helps us to see what He sees, right? So prayer, what it does is that you're going to see it up there. Prayer admits this inadequacy of the laborers. It comes, it just moves you down. First of all, you look. And I love this because you think He sees them and He sees them as helpless with sheep without a shepherd. But then He says, you need to also, first of all, admit that you are helpless apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. Prayer admits also that I see them helpless, but I'm also helpless if I go by myself. If I go by myself, I'm helpless. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus sees both need and opportunity. And He says prayer here helps us to see the great need of the people, but then also see the opportunity. Remember here when He's using that shepherd metaphor, He's using this idea that the great shepherd has now come. That you're seeing the great need of the people, but you're seeing also the good news of the gospel is that now their needs cannot be met. Stop searching. Stop looking. Jesus is now the way, the truth, and the life. And now a way has been made for you to be reconciled with God. Jesus took all the anger towards you. God is no longer angry with you anymore. You don't have to fight with God anymore. Now you can be reconciled with God. And this is what it's Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7 says. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those that go and they proclaim this good news that your God reigns. That your God reigns. And what does He reign over? He reigns even over your sin that troubles you today. Where sin abounded, now grace abounds even more. So there is good news. Hope can now be found in Jesus. The shepherd is here. So therefore, the harvest is plenty. Amen? But they are not enough laborers. They need equipping. So prayer gets you down and just puts you in this place where you say, "Jesus, equip me." They need empowering. Prayer gets you down where you say, I need to be empowered. I love that because of Jesus, when He's raised from the dead, He goes to his disciples in Acts chapter 1. He says this: "I want you to go and preach, but you need to wait first." Right? "I need you to wait first. But you will receive what? power. We're going to be looking at this in the next couple of weeks. You receive power, then you will become my witnesses. Prayer appeals to the authority of the Lord of the harvest. It says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. I love the pattern of Jesus' prayers. If you look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your name be hallowed, right? Let your name be what matters above everything, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. He appeals to God's authority to do work. In John 17, he appeals to God's authority as well to do work. And not only that, we see here in Matthew 9, he appeals to God's authority to do work. And he says, the first thing that you need to do is that you need to go to the one who owns the harvest. God is the Lord of the harvest. He owns the harvest. This is just really just the beauty of what's shown here, the sovereignty of God over the whole harvesting process. Let me tell you, this is probably my favorite part about the Bible. He is the Lord of the harvest. Oh, let me tell you this, like when it comes to the gospel ministry, you will get so discouraged. You get hit from left, right, and center. You get your wind knocked out. But in order for you to keep going, you're going to need to have the guarantee that the Lord of the harvest didn't call you to an empty field. I'm telling you guys, you're going to need to see, like when you're watching your co-workers and you're hearing God move your heart and you cannot see it. You're watching your kids, they're being rebellious, and you cannot see it. That's when you're going to have to dig your heels more into this kind of truth. He sees it more than I see it, so help me, Lord, here. Give me eyes, right? So the seed is his. In fact, Matthew 13 is going to say the seed is the what? The good news of the kingdom. The seed, in fact, the seed is Christ Jesus, right? Christ Jesus, the field is his, and Christ is the chief laborer, right? He's calling you to join in the work that he's already, what? Done, right? The work is done, and he's calling you to join him in what? In harvesting. That's the beauty of the cross. The cross doesn't say you need to do more. It says it's done. He has paid it all. Come, all who have no money, and come and enjoy. That's what Isaiah says. Right? Come and enjoy, right? The harvest is his. He's the one who sends laborers. In fact, the literal interpretation of that, if you're reading it in the original language, is it says, the Lord who is harvesting. Pray to the Lord who is harvesting. And reminded me of John 5, verse 17. Look at what Jesus says. He says, he answers them and he says this, my Father is working until now, and I am working. Anytime God invites you on mission, he's inviting you to a field he's already been working on. Anytime he invites you to pray for your friends, to pray for your neighbors, he's already been doing work before. In fact, he began 2,000 years ago. In fact, he began at the garden when he promised the gospel in Genesis 3:15. He began working on this more than. I love Andrew Blackaby.
on his book, Experiencing God, summarizes this statement like this. The Father has been working right up until now. Now the Father has me, Jesus, working, and I did nothing of my own initiative, right? And I watch and I see what the Father is doing, and I go and I work with him. The Father loves me, but he shows me everything he is doing. So what Blackaby does here is that he says, this is a model that needs to apply to us even when it comes to mission. And life personally, watch and see where God is working and just join him. Watch and see where God, and you know what? Prayer is what's going to help you to see that. To watch and see where God is working. God is the one who's harvesting, and he sent Jesus to be the first one in the field. And I love this, both metaphors of sheep without a shepherd and harvest, they carry this urgency with them. Because like the sheep that are helpless without a shepherd, they're in danger for their lives. They're vulnerable. But not only that, the harvest that is ready is also vulnerable to being spoiled, stolen, or even eaten by animals. Right? And so it has to be harvested and stored in time, on time. Right, and I love this. This is where prayer admits this miracle that's happening. What's happening here is this miracle that's happening. It says to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out, to send forth. And this word is actually, in every other context, it's a violent word. It's a violent, in fact, when you go down to 10:1, when he's saying go out and cast demons out, he's saying send them out in a violent manner. But here what's going on is that it's he's saying send out laborers without accompanying sense of violence, even though it's been used that way. So what's going on here is that God is the one who is launching these laborers out. You have to go down, and he's the one who has to now launch you from the bottom and send you to those people. He's the one who's now sending you out in the same manner he sent Christ. In the same manner he sent Christ into the world. And I love the there's almost this sense here. It's this word to send forth. It means to thrust out. And what it really could even refer to is workers like you and me who are sometimes already in the field, but who need fire lit underneath us for the Holy Spirit to launch us out again out of our comforts and our bubbles as Christians, right? Sometimes we can just like, this is what we can be very comfortable, and this is like maybe a prayer where the Holy Spirit now energizes old laborers, energizes those who have just been sleeping on the field. I love this because one day I was called by a funeral home. One of the things we've done is that we've partnered up with a lot of funeral homes around here. And we've just said, hey, let us know if there's anyone who needs help burying their dead. Just surprisingly, just hearing from most of these places, some of them would call churches and they wouldn't have any help. Some people just didn't belong to a church. And I went and I did a funeral just a couple of months ago for a gentleman. And then when I was done with that funeral, this African-American gentleman walked up to me. And it was I was moved as I was doing this funeral, sharing the hope that is in Christ, and the good news that's in Christ. I was just moved and seeing people that are hurting. But this gentleman walked up to me after we were done with the graveyard service, and he looked at me straight in the eye and he said, young man,
My grandfather used to tell me this, that some was called, some was sent, some just went. I want to tell you, young man, that I can tell that Jesus sent you here today. My prayer is that God would send us in the same manner that as we pray, as we labor, as we intercede, what this scripture say really kind of helps us with is this whole idea of that. Sometimes we send ourselves, maybe that's why we don't get success. We see and we have compassion and we just respond. What he was saying here is like, I've seen some who just went. I've seen some who just went and they had nothing in their hands. And in fact, scripture is going to be very I can find comedy in scripture. Because in the book of Acts, there's these seven sons of Sceva that just, they're like, they're watching everybody doing their thing. And they're like, we want to preach like that. We want to do these things like that. And then so they go out there and they start preaching and they start trying to cast demons. And man, they get a whooping from these demons. And they start running from every direction because these demons are like, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? Who sent you? And they get a whooping out of that. And let me tell you this. A lot of times, we get a whooping from the enemy because we just didn't go down first. Oh, I can tell you, I've been a missionary. I've gone in the mission field, worked, went. I was being thankful yesterday for one time when after I got saved, I went and I started working, setting up Bible studies in almost every school in our city, working. And I remember as a burned out young man, walking into our church, Victory Fellowship in Bulawayo, them saying, and just saying, I just don't know. I just, so much zeal, but no, just no character, zero, and all that. And I remember my pastor saying, listen, son, we're going to have to work on you. And he sent me, and I just stayed at that church for more than a year plus, cleaning toilets, and he was pastoring me and helping me, showing me what a sent life looks like. And I am grateful for those times. In fact, some of my best seasons in life have happened when I was what? Humbled, and I was cleaning toilets down there. It is God who sends laborers. Laborers are not self-appointed. And that's actually now where the beauty of this as well is that there's sometimes when we see something and we have to really kneel down and say, God, I know I could get up and say something, but God, am I the right person to say this? A lot of times we're probably not the right person to be saying that. And God could send a better laborer to actually go and talk to that person better than you. So sometimes we need to be hearing from God whether to go or whether to pray a little bit longer or to look around and see who's best fit to actually go and speak to that person. And a lot of times probably it's not even you. Amen? Church, sometimes we can go on social media and we can say nasty things about other people and stuff. And we're addressing them. And they're not ready to hear us. Maybe what we need to be doing is going down on our knees and saying, Jesus, they probably have somebody they are ready to listen to. Could you send that person? Amen. God sends ready laborers who are skilled in actually doing the work. I love what Ian Bounds says, wrote a lot on prayer. He says, prayer puts the work of God's hands, God, the work in God's hands, and keeps it there.
He takes it and keeps it there. Why do we pray to the Lord of the harvest? I want you to really hear me on this. But because activism without authority is insufficient. If we just act without the authority of the Holy Spirit, it's insufficient. But activism with authority has eternal implications. It's eternal. It's coming from the source of where your help comes from. And it's able to do better work. Sometimes we think our words can do better work than the words of the Holy Spirit. And we have to do that. I sit down. Let me tell you this. Like now, let me check it even closer to us. I sit down with countless times with husbands and wives, and I say, man, like you. It sounds like you're convinced that your words you can do better, a better work than the words of Jesus in your husband's or in your wife's life. And so you keep preaching the same message instead of actually right, maybe kneeling down and asking the Lord of the harvest who can bring the better work in them and he can do better work. Quit saying the same things and maybe it's time for you to kneel down and ask the one who can reach them better than you can. The Holy Spirit. Amen? Oh, I'm about to get fired up. Let me just keep quiet. So they are sent. And I love this because like it says prayer acknowledges this the miracle of sentness. This miracle of sentness. And what happens is that like let me tell you this. If you really just like maybe you don't realize that being sent by God is actually a miracle on its own. Maybe you really, really look down on one of the doctrines of the church is called the doctrine of depravity, right? Depravity, and it's just this thing of like, if you can just go to the nursery and go watch kids act, and you can see nobody taught them how to be selfish. Nobody taught them at all. Like, this is something that you don't get trained. Listen, we can get master's degrees, we can get PhDs on anything else. Nobody has to give you a degree on selfishness. You're already a master at that. You're already a master at that. Not only that, why? Because the first word that comes out of toddlers' lives is mine. This is mine. And not only that, you see it even in older people. My time, my money, my this, my that. And so prayer, this is what happens here. God helps you to see, have compassion. But prayer, then what it does is that it takes an inward person and turns them and makes them outward. So we have to actually admit that prayer, it's just like this sentness, the ability to cross the street as a Christian is a miracle on its own because we are always inwardly focused. In fact, a lot of us, even in this room, this morning, we have to actually admit that I'm an inwardly focused Christian. I think about me, myself, and I, and it's only going to take the work of the Holy Spirit to turn me outward, to start thinking about others. And that's why I love even marriage, because marriage is the training school of you starting to think about others. And if I could tell you, 90% of my marriage counseling has to do with inward versus outward. It's not like I am mad because I was trying to serve her and love her. No, for real though. Like, just think about it. It's not like I am mad because I was trying to be a better husband and I was trying to buy her flowers, love on her. And it's like, no, she's not serving me. And not only that, the church. In fact, one of the ways that God works on us is constantly send us out because that does a lot. It constantly unfolds us and make us think outward, right? So this is what's going on here. So what God does here is that he sends people that he's working on. is working on. And so they're sent, these people are sent, and it's just this miracle of sentness. Matthew 10:7, it says that, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Look at this. You received without paying. God doesn't send people he's not working on out there. You received first. Then give what you've what? Received. Right? This is like when you get into a plane, every single time they say, hey, in case of an emergency, put what? The gas mask on yourself first before you put it on others. You're going to run out of air while trying to put it on others if it's actually what? If it's not on you. I love Charles Spurgeon. He says this. He says this. How unserviceable such a man must be. He has to guide travelers along a road that he has never traveled, to navigate a vessel along the coast which he knows none of the landmarks. He is called to instruct others, being himself a fool. What can he be but a cloud without rain, a tree with the leaves only? And he kind of just goes into this whole, how can he bid men to come to Christ while he himself is a stranger to this love? So he has to work on us first. And so it's a miracle of this sentness that's happening on the inside of us. Let me ask the worship team to come up. So Jesus, and I love this, when you're starting to see Jesus sending them, and there's this dependency that keeps on happening here. Look at Matthew 10:16. It says, and behold, I am sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We're going to look into even more of what this means in the weeks to come. But I want you to see this. He sends them out dependent. I'm sending you as sheep amongst the wolves. He never expects them to remain, to change from being sheep and become what? Lions out there. He's saying, I'm sending you still dependent. And you're gonna need, this whole process of mission is gonna from A to Z is gonna be a dependent work. You're still gonna be sheep, and you're gonna be surrounded by wolves. And so what does that need? You're gonna be always punching that SOS, calling on me to sustain you out there. And not only that, you're gonna be resting in the fact that you've got a great shepherd who's with you. You're gonna be resting as you go. So the beauty of the gospel is that go into all the worlds and preach this good news. In verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28, he says, and behold, I am with you till the what? The ends of the what? Age. He sends them as sheep and sends them as vulnerable and says, I'm going to steal. And how am I meant to be sustained out there? You're sending me in the midst of wolves? The best thing that you have out there is what? Is the fact that you've got a shepherd with you. And he's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to do that. And he's going to help you. The last thing I want you to see here as we end is that prayer asks the Lord to send help of the harvest. This is actually maybe what our biggest preoccupation as a church needs to be. Asking God to multiply more laborers, more and more and more. And I'm not just like, and I love this because it reveals to us that no matter how great our personal exertion, and we are not able to gather the harvest by ourselves. So we're gonna pray. We're going to, every energy, every single thing that we do, our money, our gifts, our talents, our everything, we're going to do, but we're constantly going to asking God to give us more, help us.
You know what that helps with? It helps deliver us from arrogance. To think that we, to think that in the kingdom of God, they are quarterbacks. The ones that get all the glory by themselves. No. This is a team sport. You're going to have to always ask for help. And not only that, it's going to humble us as well, because we're going to realize as well that a city church on its own cannot do this work by. Then all of a sudden, we're going to start asking for the Lord of the harvest. Can you send more churches into Williamsport? All of a sudden, now we're going to stop looking at other churches that are being planted in our city, and we're going to start being thankful for them, because we're seeing the Lord sending more laborers. We're going to start thanking God instead of griping at the church down the street. Because we're now seeing, and then you know what? Now we are witnessing that, man, now there is a potential for more people to be what? To be welcomed into His kingdom. I'll never forget, guys, I'm going to tell you. The first week we came, the city church, there was 9 people in this room. 9 people, and it was very discouraging. Very discouraging, and not only that, I remember going out and just meeting people. Hey, I'm the new pastor at City Church. Meeting even some pastors walking up to me and saying, there's 9 people? Why don't you just give up? I remember receiving even words, harsh words from even Christians telling me, having other churches approach us and saying, why don't you give us your building because it's dying anyway? And the most helpful, most encouraging, most, even up to today, has been so helpful for me, was remembering Spencer Sweeting, pastor at City Alliance, meeting him at Alabaster Coffee, and him shaking my hand and saying, man, I'm glad to see you. For more than a year, we've been praying Luke 10:2. Lord, send harvesters. And I believe that you're one of those answers of prayer. And I won't lie to you, church. This is the most encouraging thing for me that sustained us to even up to be at this point. Recognizing that, wow, at least somebody's grateful we're here. And not only that, that's where we've gotten to partner up. And we get to meet and pray with one another, because we're realizing that we're not the only ones out here. We can work with others. So prayer helps admit that. Let me ask us to stand. This is what's going to be, as you hear more and more as we challenge in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be challenging us to think even beyond our church, our walls here, when it comes to mission. To think, how can we begin to engage and partner up with other churches as well for the glory of God. There's a great picture in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus sends Simon to cast the net out to harvest fish. But then Peter realizes that he cannot even bring those nets by himself. And what he does is that he asks for help from somebody else. And our greatest need here as the church in Williamsport is constantly to be asking for others to help us. So this week in our home groups, we're going to be looking at what our missional plan is. We're going to be looking at what does it look like to pray. What does it look like for us to advance towards others? J.C. Ryle once again says, it is generally those who keep up closest communion with Christ and are most constant in prayer that are most successful laborers of God. So Jesus, we come before you this morning. Could you help us, God?
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.